the Street and Curve, and as you were listening to The Age of Aquarius, one of my favorite old-time hippie songs, we're going to try to swing for the stars today. We're going to talk about The Age of Aquarius. Maybe it's a harbinger of things to come, and according to the planet or the rogue planet Pluto, we may be entering into the Age of Aquarius. So welcome, everyone. I'm Stephen Carvelli. I'm your designated driver for today's show, Street and Curb. We're going to be hitting on all cylinders today. We're going to talk about the Age of Aquarius. We're going to talk to you about Denzel Washington. He's one of my favorite actors, and I always try to maintain that actors should stay in their lanes and not talk politics, but he said some interesting things today about the election and about the state of politics today, which I want to discuss. And plus, Gladiator 2 is coming out, so it's fairly apropos that we talk about him a little bit. And then we're going to get into our final segment and talk about some post-election hangover analysis, trying to end that now, but there's still a couple commentaries we need to make. So welcome, everyone, to the Street and Curb Network. We are expanding. Right now, we're in Florida, Philadelphia, South Jersey, Fayetteville, North Carolina, Huntsville. We're soon to be coming to North Jersey and Jackson, Mississippi, at the beginning of the year. So the stations that carry us are WWDB right here in Philly, WTMR in Camden, WJBR in Tampa, WBHB in Huntsville. So we're swinging for the stars today for Street and Curb. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Paul Oster, certified FICO Pro, the nation's credit repair man and the president of Better Qualified. 20 years of helping thousands of people just like you repair their credit. We have an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, and our clients have saved thousands of dollars with lower interest rates. We're currently helping people in your area, so take the first step. We have helped our clients to have hundreds of thousands of late payments, collections, and charge-offs deleted from their credit reports. Are you tired of getting denied? Tired of higher interest rates? This is your message. You can own a home. You can get out of debt. You can afford that new car. 20 years later, you have my word. If you're ready to help yourself, I know we will help you, and I'll guarantee it. Text the message CURB to the number 40691. Again, text the message CURB to the number 40691 for your free consultation and credit analysis.
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Age of Aquarius.
Welcome back, everyone, to Street and Curb. And yes, we're still listening to The Age of Aquarius. You know what's great about that song? It came out in 1969. Came out by the Fifth Dimension, and it has probably the unique and most dramatic change in mood within a song. We're going to discuss what the implications that are, that could be for the politics of today, but it's one of my favorite songs. So speaking about change of mood, are we about to enter to the Age of Aquarius? This age is so much talked about in the hippie generation. It's an age that has various definitions and meanings, astrologically speaking. It's kind of marked by power-rich elites and a dark, war-driven knowledge creation. That's one scenario. Another scenario is the growth of intellectualism, a new scientific rationalism. Maybe that is the precursor, what the AI is really all about, especially how that's going to be an explosive growth in technology. And the age affects the human race in the sense of rise and fall of civilizations. It's the rise and fall of scientific and real revolution. The Age of Aquarius is supposed to be a period of enlightenment, new intellectualism, broad expansion of scientific rationalism, and a little bit of a decline of organized religion, but we'll see what happens there. But it's powerful stuff, astrologically speaking. So again, how does this age start? And you know, what does it mean for the people on planet Earth when we're looking up at the stars? Well, there's a question of whether we're in it or not in it. And, if you look at the song and listen to the song, it states that Jupiter aligns with Mars and the moon is in the seventh house. Unfortunately, on an astronomical level, that really makes it all too frequent. Because why? Jupiter and Mars align every 2 to 3 years, which lasts about a month. And the moon will be in the seventh house 15 times during that period because it comes roughly every second day in the seventh house. So this is hardly a unique occasion. Maybe they took a little song expression a little too far, but it does not mean anything on what the commentary of the song is. So what is the Age of Aquarius and how does it come? There is a broad philosophy that the Age of Aquarius is kind of a rolling thunder a little bit. It kind of rolls up on us depending on certain astrological signs. That's a possibility. But what I want to talk about today is the role of the planet Pluto. Pluto is either a planet or a non-planet, depending on the day, depending on the cosmic winds, and depending on who's saying it. But whatever it is, Pluto seems to be a little bit of a linchpin today that people are looking at the Age of Aquarius. This rogue planet apparently has entered Aquarius in March of 2023. However, it's been in retrograde, so it goes back out of Aquarius. But right now, I think it is actually this week, Pluto is going to enter the Aquarius sign and stay there for two decades because it takes so long for that planet to revolve around the sun. So astrologically speaking, and I'm strictly saying astrologically speaking here, this is quite significant because Pluto signifies a generational shift, shift of generations, paradigm shifts in regards to power and control and culture, and moving into the Aquarius zodiac sign is what people are talking about, because both of them aligned together seems to indicate generational changes and massive scientific advancement on all types of technology. So is this the beginning of the new age? Because, you know, Pluto is going to be here for two decades. Some people are talking about, if we look at what's happening now in politics, you know, we have Donald Trump going into office and he's not able to run again. So he's not hindered by the constraints of having to run again and satisfying certain political groups and classes of people. So he may have more of an imperial presidency. So these next 4 years could have profound influences for not only subsequent years, but also subsequent presidencies. Now, when we talk about the role of authoritarian regimes and control regimes, we do have some that are evolving here. We have Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, and how they work together and how they perhaps can create a concerted effort against the United States. So we do have the rise of authoritarian regimes around the world. Also, for scientific rationalism and the new intellectualism, I mean, it is two letters, AI. And AI, especially generative AI, is changing the way we work. It's changing the way we interact with people. It's changing the way we express ourselves and how that may be the decline and the replacing of human functionalism in society. So with such a switch to AI and basically marginalizing human responses and human capability, because, you know, we're not using our resources and our capabilities much anymore with AI. So could this be the technology and the rationalization that people are talking about with the Age of Aquarius? It's interesting. It just, there seems to be a lot of similarities, but also maybe it is a precursor of really how we define ourselves as a civilization. But I've always said with AI, it pits man, you know, it's always against a revolution, man against man. That's the traditional way of thinking about it. But with AI, is it man against the machine? Because the machine, especially with some of the capabilities of generative AI, could really cause some issues for the United States and for us as a civilization. So we're going to take a quick break right in here. We're talking about the Age of Aquarius, what it means to us, what it means to you, and what it means to really us as a country. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Paul Oster, Certified FICO Pro, the nation's credit repairman, and the president of Better Qualified. 20 years of helping thousands of people repair their credit. We have an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, and our clients have saved thousands of dollars with lower interest rates. Text the message CURB to the number 40691. Again, text the message CURB to the number 40691 to get your free credit analysis.
This is the dawning of the Age of Aquarius. Age of Aquarius.
Welcome back, everyone, to Street and Curb. And today we're in the Age of Aquarius. And you know, I'm taking a lot of speculation on my part and using a lot of speculative liberties, especially on the astrological scale, and trying to extrapolate what the stars may foretell for us as a people. But it is interesting nonetheless. I guess the basic issue is, do the stars affect our own behavior, or does our behavior and our discussions and narrative made to fit for where the stars are? So that is a discussion for a little later, but I think it's quite interesting that the Age of Aquarius is really being talked about right now. Now, I want to go back to the opening of that song and what I said about the beginning. The Age of Aquarius song from the fifth dimension has two distinct parts of that song. One is the traditional, you know, spacey Age of Aquarius opening, but it also goes into more of a funk dance routine with the Let the Sunshine In. So there's two different genres on there. And I think there's an interesting analogy to be made with that song in today's environment. So Let the Sunshine In, the Age of Aquarius is the new intellectualism, a scientific rebirth, and Let the Sunshine In is enlightenment. It's revisiting our previously held beliefs and subject them to a new scrutiny and evaluation, kind of like becoming a new transparency and reevaluation of what we held before, the beliefs that we held before, and how they may change in the future. So reviewing this current narrative, I you know, what does this mean today? And I think this is a mandate against wokeism gone amok. What do I mean by that? Well, of course, you know, when I always talk about kind of wokeism gone amok, I have to go to our favorite town in California, in Berkeley. And back in 2020, Berkeley changed the building codes to rename manholes to maintenance holes. Employees were also allowed to add preferred pronouns to their name badges. And also they changed everything from man-made to human-made. You know, maybe that's going to be changing again to AI-made down the future. But pregnant women became pregnant employees. So back then, Berkeley was kind of the precursor of all the wokeism and how it was going to proceed in the future. And it's interesting in the fact that they spent taxpayer money to change the employee handbooks, to change name badges from manhole cover to maintenance hole cover. Back then, there was a councilman named Rigel Robinson. And as a member of council, he said in a letter, and I'm going to quote this exactly, "In recent years, broadening societal awareness of transgender and gender nonconforming identities has brought to light the importance of non-binary gender inclusivity." And he also said there is power in language. Well, there is certain power in language, because that word salad makes no sense to me at all. I don't know what he's including, not including, what he's including before and after, and what he's enlightening that we're going to expand forward. I have no idea what he's talking about. So it works both ways. That type of changes doesn't really make a difference. So what is this name changing with taxpayer money? If you look under Google, and let's say you're in line for a market for a manhole cover, you see manhole covers all the way in Google, where you can buy them, what they are, and what they do. You do not see maintenance covers, only unless you cross-link it with Berkeley. So we all know what manhole covers are. We all know that women and anybody can become a maintenance worker and understand what the definition of manhole cover is. I don't think changing the name to maintenance cover makes any bit of difference to their lives, their capability, their, you know, their diversiveness. The glass ceilings have already been broken. Who can apply for that type of job? And everyone knows the definition of really that maintenance would be a part of a manhole cover definition. So I go back to that, and I also go back to, you know, the definition of, you know, we've been changing terms around and costing taxpayers money, but we as taxpayers already know what those definitions are. So these barriers to employment, these barriers to inclusion by law have been changing. Now, whether they've been implemented fully or not, that's open to debate, but by law, that's already been inclusive. Do pronouns or name tags make any difference to the performance of your job or the interaction with customers? I don't think so. Where is the tangible measured difference by adding pronouns to name tags? So again, we want to shed light on these ordinances. And I think that's what the Sunshine In means with the Age of Aquarius. We're going to review our issues that we've had before, the assumptions that we've had before. And I think a lot of it has to do with wokeism terminology, usage, diversity, and exclusion languages in a lot of our manuals and a lot of our discourse. I think that's all going to change. So again, I love the Age of Aquarius talk. I think it's kind of interesting, but if it motivates us to reevaluate some of our discourses, to reevaluate some of our assumptions, but more importantly, to really expand our scientific rationalization and knowledge and be able to have this new intellectualism, that is an Age of Aquarius. And I think that that kind of generational change is more than due at this point. It also goes back to the transparency about broader wokeism issues. You know, should biological males compete with females? Does removing Confederate statues really redress the wrongs that they're trying to redress? Do pronouns define people? Again, you know, if we really shine a lot of transparency on this, I don't think it makes that big a difference. Psychologically, maybe we kind of impart some barriers to that that show that there is a difference. But in functionality and day-to-day living and day-to-day practicality, I think showing and shining the light on this type of thing is probably long overdue. And in the grand historical context, 50 years to 100 years from now, historians will look back on this generation and say, you know, it was all much ado, and it really didn't have that much of a difference. And I think the pendulum is pushing it other way anyway. So again, it's interesting, but I like making those analogies. Now, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about one of my favorite actors, Denzel Washington, especially with Gladiator 2 coming out. But he said, and I really don't like commentating on actors who discuss politics because I think they should stay in their lane. But he said some things that were quite interesting that I want to bring to light a little bit. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this message. And join us again for Street and Curb.
Paul Oster, certified FICO Pro, the nation's credit repair man and the president of Better Qualified. 20 years of helping thousands of people just like you repair their credit. We have an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, and our clients have saved thousands of dollars with lower interest rates. We're currently helping people in your area, so take the first step. We have helped our clients to have hundreds of thousands of late payments, collections, and charge-offs deleted from their credit reports. Are you tired of getting denied? Tired of higher interest rates? This is your message. You can own a home. You can get out of debt. You can afford that new car. 20 years later, you have my word. If you're ready to help yourself, I know we will help you, and I'll guarantee it. Text the message CURB to the number 40691. Again, text the message CURB to the number 40691 for your free consultation and credit analysis.
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Age of Aquarius.
Welcome back, everyone. Yes, we are ODing on the Age of Aquarius music today, but that's the theme of the song. That's the theme of the show. But I want to change our pivot here a little bit and talk about Denzel Washington. Denzel Washington, very accomplished actor, one of my top five actors of all time, has a new movie coming out, Gladiator 2, which Gladiator was one of my favorite movies also. So he's been commenting a little bit, and he talked about a little bit about the election cycle and about the American electorate. He basically says there's an oversized role of disinformation coming from both parties, and this disinformation is clouding the capability of the electorate to really analyze the issues. So in other words, he clouds, the disinformation is so widespread and so pervasive that the real issues for voters, or what he perceives to be the real issues for voters, is not being readily read by the electorate. And the electorate is voting without a real understanding of these real issues. Well, I mean, that's what disinformation does. Disinformation clouds the water. So you really can't separate oil from water. You can't really see what the real issues are. And that's what disinformation does. But the fact that he chooses both parties as providing the same thing and preventing the electorate from really making logical decisions. I don't know what he's saying, if it's against the electorate for not being smart enough to see through disinformation. Is he criticizing the political parties for using it? Or is he criticizing the media for allowing the parties to use it? Well, look, in every election, you have cycles. You have, you know, negative campaigns. You have less negative campaigns. You have more negative campaigns. That is disinformation also. That is just the nature of American politics. But the fact that he's calling it disinformation in regards to that information instead of using negative campaigning, I think he's signifying something of a larger scale. I think he's signifying that the American electorate is now incapable of discerning what is true information and fake information, and it's basing their decisions based on fake information, thinking that it's true. Yes, you know, I can say that again twice, but it's interesting that we have Hollywood, which is generally on left of center on every issue, and generally only criticizes the one party that they don't like. It's interesting. I like Denzel Washington. I think he's a little out of his lane here, but I think there's the kernel of truth in what he's saying. But I think he's missing the end point of where this goes. The end point of where this goes is that the American electorate needs to get smarter. The American electorate does not need, some kind of grand government organization say, oh, that's disinformation. That's real information. Base your decision based on this. We have to make the American voters smarter and be able to see through these. We have to have much more hyper-focused journalism and press to be able to at least have a little modicum of impartiality and be able to pierce through this also. But the media is complicit in this because not only do they promote the disinformation, they continue it. And they continue the whole process throughout the election cycle. So I'm not sure where Denzel Washington is placing blame. I originally thought when I read the article that he was really placing blame on the electorate for being dumb. But now that I'm more, I look at it, I think he's placing the electorate on journalism, that this election cycle has been flawed because journalists did not do their job. And I think that makes it interesting also. Now, we do have one more thing to talk about today, and that's something that just got a lot of publicity. And that is the final comment today about the Scarborough and Mika meeting with Trump at Mar-a-Lago. If you remember their little talk fest on MSNBC and the gaffe fest that is on the left-leaning network, they pretty much called Trump a Hitler. They called him a fascist throughout the whole election cycle vehemently. I mean, this is from the guy who was a Republican at one time, but secretly, apparently, and they went on the show a couple of days ago to say that they secretly met with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago to kind of clear the air, because what they were doing now, they had to reset their position because basically, you know, Donald Trump in office for the next 4 years. Now, the response on the media has been swift. Most people who are aligned with them consider them hypocrites. But let's consider what reasoning they have here. So why do they think they need the reset? Number one, possibility, are they acting as true journalists to become a little more impartial to present both sides to every story? Number two, do they need to reset to remain relevant for the next 4 years? Because the viewership of left-leaning networks has declined substantially since the election of Trump. And, you know, maybe they need to create a little more relevancy to get a little more viewer-based. Number three, was it network coercion? Did the network want a more balanced approach now on television to keep their viewership? So that would be a money-making decision. Number four, is it a marketing ploy to retain or gain viewers? So only a left-wing journalist, and they are so far the only left-sided journalist to go meet with Donald Trump. Or number five, and this is something that most people don't think, is it a resume builder? Yes, perhaps there's tea leaves being read, that perhaps their jobs may be in jeopardy, and this may be something to improve their resume with. It's interesting. It's funny how it came out. These were the people who actually called Donald Trump a Hitler and a fascist and actually meeting with him. I don't know how many people would call someone Hitler and go meet with him, because maybe maybe the Hitler comment really wasn't serious, or really they have one of these ulterior motives. But whatever the case, only time will tell, and we'll see what happens in the next coming weeks and where this goes. But it is interesting. The left is a little wobbly right now with Trump coming in, but we'll see what happens. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to do our final close here on Street and Curb. So stay with us. We've got a couple more minutes left.
Paul Oster, certified FICO Pro, the nation's credit repair man, and the president of Better Qualified. 20 years of helping thousands of people just like you repair their credit. We have an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, and our clients have saved thousands of dollars with lower interest rates. We're currently helping people in your area, so take the first step. We have helped our clients to have hundreds of thousands of late payments, collections, and charge-offs deleted from their credit reports. Are you tired of getting denied? Tired of higher interest rates? This is your message. You can own a home. You can get out of debt. You can afford that new car. 20 years later, you have my word. If you're ready to help yourself, I know we will help you, and I'll guarantee it. Text the message CURB to the number 40691. Again, text the message CURB to the number 40691 for your free consultation and credit analysis.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Age of Aquarius.
Welcome back, everyone, to Street Curve. And I guess my commentary on the Denzel Washington gladiator disinformation scenario took a little longer than I thought. So we're running out of time this week. We have a lot of things coming up in subsequent weeks. Of course, we'll still have post-election hangover to talk about. We'll still have, you know, Age of Aquarius. We're going to talk about disinformation, real information, fake information, all types of information you're going to find here on Street and Curb. So we'll see you next week on the Street and Curb Radio Network. Take care. I'm your driver for today, but you are the driver for tomorrow. We'll see you next week.
This is the dawning of